Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And, you know, it's not often you get to talk to the guys behind the scenes of something as big as what we're talking about here. But Jeff Margolis is with us. His memoir is called We're Live in Five, My Extraordinary Life in Television. He has directed the Oscars 8 times, directed the CMAs, the AMAs, the SAG Awards. I mean, the guy's done it all. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing, Randy?
Great, man. You know, so I read the foreword that was written by your buddy Billy Crystal, and Billy has been on this show, and he's not one to kind of go out on a limb for somebody if he doesn't believe in them. And man, what a great, you know, he had some great things to say about you for sure.
Thank you. I had the really good fortune of working with Billy on the Oscars. We had worked together numerous times before, and we tried something on the Oscars that I don't think either of us had done before in this sort of the style that we did it in. Billy never told me what he was going to do in his opening monologue. The only thing he told me is if he was going to go talk to Jack Nicholson or Clint Eastwood or Meryl Streep, but I saw his opening monologue for the first time when it was live on the air. And we decided to do it that way so that it could be spontaneous. And I could put myself in the fifth row center of the theater and show the people at home the way I was seeing it. And so it was a real challenge for me. And Billy and I had the trust and confidence in one another. We knew each other well enough to know that it would work. And it worked brilliantly. It was fantastic.
You know, I just remember those specials, those Oscars hosted by Billy, as being some of the best ever. And so you got to have a director, somebody that you trust, to do something like that. So that was just a great combination. What do you think in terms of your career? What do you think was the best event that you've ever been involved in? I mean, you've been involved in so many.
Well, you know something, I'm going to tell you a little story. I wrote the book with a ghostwriter named Lauren Stevens. She's a wonderful lady who helped me put the book together because I've never written a book before. This is my first. And we were doing a number of chapters on specials. I've done over 150 television specials.
Wow.
And she said to me, I've got a really good idea of a way we can introduce all these chapters on the specials. She said, but you've got to tell me what your favorite one was. What's your most favorite special that you've ever done? And there was silence for a moment. And I said to her, Lauren, you're the mother of 3 children. Tell me which one's your favorite.
Yeah, right.
So what I'm saying to you is they're all my children. I love them all. I mean, each one has a life of their own. And every one of them was a wonderful experience and a challenge. You know, look, there's some hiccups. There's some bumps in the road. There's difficult talent to work with, and you have to figure out how you're going to get around it and make the most of it. And then there's wonderful experiences. And this book, I didn't throw anybody under the bus. It's not a kiss-and-tell book. It's a book about my extraordinary life in television. And I've had an extraordinary life. I've been blessed. And, you know, I didn't get there on my own. You need to surround yourself with creative people, with collaborative people, and you need to let people talk. And sometimes somebody has a better idea than you do. And so, no, seriously.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's all part of the process.
Yeah, and you know, what a great attitude for a director to have. We're talking to Jeff Margolis here in the National Defense, his memoir, We're Live in Five, My Extraordinary Life in Television. I want to ask you about working with Michael Jackson.
Yes, that was a thrill. I was fortunate to meet Michael when he was still part of the Jackson 5. He was 8 years old when I met him, and we became very friendly. He was fascinated. I started doing cue cards. And the Jackson 5 was on the Andy Williams show. I don't know if you remember that.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
the Jackson 5 wrong. I was doing cue cards, and after we rehearsed the Jackson 5 number, Michael came up to me and said, "Hey, man, my name's Michael. What's your name?" And I said, "My name is Jeff." And he said, how do you hold those cards, and when do you know when to pull them, and how does all that work?" And so I explained everything to him, and from that point on, every time we worked together, you know, he was always, "Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?" And and then, you know, the following year, I had moved from cue cards to, I was the assistant director on the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour.
Wow.
And the Jackson 5 were on the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. And Michael said, "Hey, man, where are your cards?" And I said, "I'm not doing cue cards anymore. I'm the assistant director on the show." "Really? What do you do, man?" You know, and I put them into the control room. And so anyway, we became really, really good friends. And I did an awful lot of work with him. He was on Sammy Davis Jr.'s 60th anniversary celebration and Motown's 45th. And, you know, one show after the other I did with him. And he was asked by HBO to do a special called Michael Jackson One Night Only. And it was during that period of time when he was having all those false allegations against him. And so it was a very important sort of comeback special for him. And
I remember that. Yeah.
Well, it was Michael Jackson One Night Only, the show that never happened. Because the day before the show was to be live on the air, he collapsed on the stage.
Oh, man.
He was overworked and overtired and overstressed, and we were in the final dress rehearsal of the show, and he collapsed and was rushed away to the hospital in an ambulance, and the show never got on the air.
Wow.
But I spent 4 months with him in New York, you know, working 24/7, putting that show together. And it was really important to him and to the record label and to his management company and all of that. It was going to be quite the show.
it was
going to be quite the show. Yeah. One of those things that, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, Michael Jackson is one of those iconic figures. We're based in Kansas City, Missouri. And I remember he came to Arrowhead for his tour and held a press conference here. And I attended the press conference, and there were reporters from all over the world. And Michael Jackson could not have been bigger at the time. And he steps up to the microphone, and you can barely hear him. You can barely hear him. But nobody wants to say, "Michael, you know, we can't hear you." And so I'm in the back of the room.
Right.
I'm in the back of the room, and I go, "Hey, Michael, we can't hear you." And he goes, and he turned it up. He's, is this better? And it was better, but but he had that kind of
right.
He had that kind of power, you know. And you know, Jeff, you know, that's the other part of what you do and what you've done in your career. You've got to be able not only to do the director functions, but you have to handle the talent, and everybody's different in a different way, right?
Absolutely. And let me just tell you another thing about Michael Jackson. There wasn't a nicer guy around. I mean, he was such a pleasure to work with. He knew what he wanted and how to get it, and you had to respect him for that. And but he was just kind and gentle and nice about everything. And he was very sort of introverted. He was quiet and shy and bashful. But what a nice guy, and how creative was this guy?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking to Jeff Margolis here on the National Defense, his memoir, We're Live in Five, My Extraordinary Life in Television. And I found this so interesting. Your uncle was Monty Hall from Let's Make a Deal.
Yes. It's nice to have a little nepotism in the family. It helps you along the way.
Yeah.
I was a student at UCLA. I was in the UCLA Film and Television School, and Monty was doing Let's Make a Deal, and I wanted to get in. I wanted to get involved, and I wanted to be on the stage. I wanted to be in the studio. I wanted to see how all the magic happened. And, you know, I'd been watching television for so many years, and I sort of had an idea, but I wanted to be in it. And I went to him and I told him, and he was very generous, and he was very proud to take me under his wing and get me open the door. He opened the door for me. Once I got my foot in the door, I took off. You need to have the talent to back you up. You've got to, when you tell somebody you can do something, you better have the talent to do it.
Right.
And I did.
Oh, that's so cool. And, you know, of course, Reba McEntire knocked it out of the park at the Super Bowl with the national anthem, and you've worked with her.
Yes, I have. I used to direct the Academy of Country Music Awards, which she hosted. And you know, I did the American Music Awards for 26 years, and Reba was on that show many times. I really, you know, I've worked with everybody. I mean, it sounds kind of egotistical to say that, a little bit conceited, but I really work with everybody in film, television, recording industry. You know, when you do the type of shows that I've done, and especially these award shows, where all these people are on and they either present or they perform or something, I've just had a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to meet everybody and work with everybody.
It's amazing. And you did the CMAs for a number of years. I was a morning show host at a country music station for quite a long time. And we would go to the CMA Awards every year and get on Radio Row and just interview everybody. And one of the most remarkable things that happened, there was a new group that was out called, I think it was One Trick Pony. And it was two guys and a beautiful woman named Heidi. And they were just coming onto the scene. And I'm sitting there interviewing them. And all of a sudden, Gene Simmons, I don't know where Gene Simmons came from. Gene Simmons from Kiss, he walks in. And as Gene is want to do, he spots the most beautiful woman in the room, and it turned out to be Heidi. And he just barges into the interview with his guitar and says, lovely lady, may I sing a song with you? And so he sits down, and he starts playing with these guys from One Trick Pony, and everybody in the room is silent. I mean, everybody in the room is silent. It was a magical radio moment for me. And of course, at the end, Gene Simmons, who is also maybe the best businessman I've ever met, holds up the new Kiss credit card and does a promo on the credit card. But, you've got to be used to that, Jeff. I mean, you know, stuff that just happens like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that goes on. You know, people at home turn their television on and they think it's happening right at the moment, and it just happens. Television's magic. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of egos to deal with. It's a lot to manage. There are a lot of puzzle pieces putting these shows together. And it's quite a challenge. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I can never get enough of it. You know, not everything is peaches and cream.
Right, right.
I say I had an extraordinary life in television, but there are bumps in the road. There are hiccups. You know, you get pieces of talent that are impossible to deal with, and they make your life difficult. You know, but you've got a job to do. Basically, at the end of the day, you've got a job to do. You've got to deliver a show to the network or the studio. You've made a commitment. You've got their money. You got to perform. You got to get it done somehow. So you work as hard as you can to make that happen.
Well, hey, tell me about one of those bumps. What was your sweatiest moment where you thought something may not happen the right way?
Well, in 1991, I did an Oscars with Gil Cates, who was the producer. We decided that year to do. We gave the show a theme. We did movies around the world. So we sent five major stars to different countries in the world. And Jack Lemmon, you remember Jack Lemmon?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Fantastic.
Yeah. We sent Jack Lemmon to Russia. And, you know, Gil and I had done a survey. We went to Russia and we did a survey. We got everything set up. So we sent Jack Lemmon to Russia, and he was going to give the award for, I don't remember, I think it was Best Supporting Actor. And so the day before the show's live on the air, I spent part of the day, and I gave each one of the five locations an hour to make sure that the satellite was working and the sound was good and the picture was good and all that. So it came time to do Russia. And I'm talking through an interpreter on my headset. I'm talking through an interpreter trying to set everything up.
Wow.
And we've got a picture, but no sound. I couldn't get any audio. I see Jack's mouth moving, but couldn't get any audio. And we ran out of time. And so I'm thinking, oh, my God, next day we're live on the air, and I'm not going to have any sound from Russia. So the day of the show, I got another 15 minutes in the morning to get the satellite up and go back to Russia to try and see if we can. 15 minutes, the sound was perfect, but there was no picture. So I thought, oh, well, you know, it is what it is. I had Billy Crystal standing by in case nothing worked in Russia. Billy would come out and present the award. So it comes time, and Billy Crystal's on stage, and he said, now we're going to go to Russia, to the Soviet Union, where Jack Lemmon is there to give the award for supporting actor. Jack, how you doing? Picture came up. The sound came up. Everything was perfect.
Oh,
it was beautiful.
Wow.
Flawless.
Oh, my gosh.
That was one of those times when you go, oh, my God, okay, well, it is what it is. We're live on the air. What can you do?
That is so good. We're live in five, My Extraordinary Life in Television from Jeff Margolis. Man, what a career, Jeff. I can't wait to read that book. That's going to be fantastic.
Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoy it. And I enjoyed speaking with you, and anytime you want to do this again, I'll be there for you.
Oh, man, that would be great, Jeff. Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.